Hi everyone, my name is Abigail Goodman. I'm director of Chicago Hope, which is the mental health department of Chicago Center. For those that haven't met me or spoken to me yet, I take care of the intake for all the mental health calls that come in. I take care of intake over the phone, or we have a private office in the center as well. While doing the referrals, also we're constantly networking with all the therapists in town and beyond, vetting them for you to give you the most solid referral. Additionally, we also do mental health awareness like we're doing tonight, whether it's mental health awareness, education, prevention, etc., via webinars or seminars. And we're very, very grateful to Upwork community tonight for collaborating with us on this wonderful webinar. Everyone knows Upwork and the incredible work that they do. And we really appreciate the outstanding work they do for the community. And we're very grateful for Leah for agreeing to do this with us. Thank you, Leah Tugan, for stepping up to the plate and making this happen. Leah is an LCSW and is the coordinator of the Pediatric Mental Health Department of Upward Community. I'm sure many people know who Leah is. We've spoken about her. The schools know her very, very well. The people that I refer her to are definitely superbly happy with the work that she does, and I'm very grateful that she's making time for this with her very busy schedule, as I know it to be. It's been hard to make this happen, everybody. It wasn't one, two, three, just to know. Leah is also a child and family therapist specializing in integrating the child and family in their context using a systems approach. She's a certified CPP, child and parent psychotherapy, using child and parent psychotherapy, which is an evidence-based intervention to treat early childhood trauma. Now, not everyone knows what I just said, what it means, but in the reality of it, Leah is truly very, very experienced in the world of psychotherapy, treating children, teens, adolescents, women, in all different capacities using a trauma-informed lens. And get ready for a wonderful webinar, trying to get through this summer in an amazing way, structuring the unstructured. Thank you, Leah, for making this happen. I give it to you. And again, all those who sent in questions before the webinar, Leah has them. She went through them and she will intersperse them when it makes sense. Feel free to send in questions. At the bottom of the webinar, there should be a little box that says Q&A. You can always send in a question. Myself or Leah will grab it and present it when there's an opening. Okay, Leah, I give it to you and thank you very much for making this happen.
Thanks, Abigail. Thanks, everyone. It's my pleasure to be here. Really an honor. Okay, so let's start. Happy summer. Vacation, I always tell, people in my caseload, vacation is really for the kids. For the parents, it can be a very stressful time. And actually, it can be even more work than the school year. Kids are around more often, schedules are off. It feels like Pesach every day. Everybody wants food all the time. Not easy. Together with that, summer is also an opportunity to create everlasting memories, connection, and share adventures. Okay, so if you happen to have the points that I send you, you are welcome to follow. Okay, so we are going to start with our first topic, that is why routines matter, why routines are so important. Okay, so the first thing about routines, again, summer is a time where routines can be challenged. Things are more loose. Schedules might be different from child to child. One kid starts camp at certain time, the other one at a different time. Parents are driving all the time for different carpools. And yet, research explains that for kids, the routine and the schedule is very helpful. So, first of all, let's learn a little bit of why. Okay. So, routines help children feel safe and secure. They understand that everything has a predictability, more or less. We don't need to be super rigid, but in general, it makes them feel more secure. Kids feel more competent, and they develop a sense of mastery, meaning they feel I can be productive, I can feel successful, I'm valued and appreciated by my family and friends. I can do this, and I belong. when there is chaos all the time. So then kids, they feel by themselves, they don't feel successful. So that's why having a routine gives the kids the feeling that they know what's coming and that they can meet the expectations. Another important thing about routines is that they reduce meltdowns and they improve sleep when the kids have a more satisfying, fulfilling, as I like calling it, developmentally appropriate kind of day. Then they are calmer and that affects their sleep. Of course, routines promote emotional regulation and lower anxiety. Routines and schedule, if they are done, and we will learn some ideas how to do it, but if they are done, benachat, with patience, with love, they can create a lasting emotional memories and stronger relationship within the family unit. Routines not only help the kids feel more in control and kind of more understanding what's happening around them, but also help parents, of course, feel calmer and in control, decrease parental anxiety, and increase feelings of satisfaction. When the parents feel, okay, this is working, parents feel more satisfied. So I gave you a little bit of the why. Why routines and schedule are important. Even in times like the summer, okay? Then I will give you a tiny bit of research to kind of back up what I'm telling you, okay? So there are two very important professionals in a very important thing called attachment. Attachment is a very important developmental need that happens mostly in young childhood for kids. Hunger, it can be mother, it can be father, it can be another important figure. But the same as we care for the kids' physical needs, there need to be close and belong to their parents, to their family, to an important grown-up in his or her life. That need is huge. It's the same as hunger for food. And another big person in attachment theory is Mary Ainsworth, and she said sensitive responsiveness and reliable routines are key to forming a secure base. Okay? Meaning, as I was explaining before, when things kind of can make sense for the child in a way. He knows, at this time I will get my supper, and this time I will be playing with my sibling, and this time I can play outside. So that creates a secure base. And let me explain you a little bit what a secure base is, okay? A secure base creates a feeling of trust in the child and helps them be able to explore the world and build independence while knowing that they can emotionally recharge and replenish with their parents' presence and support. Predictability, presence, and consistency help achieve that secure base for the child. Okay, so again, kids, we really want them to be independent, to be productive, to be effective members of society, right? So all of this starts when they are kids, and the summer can be a wonderful opportunity for them to explore and do new activities and new experiences and meet new friends and change of scenery, going to camp that a lot of times have different locations than during the school. All of these require a lot of trust, right? Like with a device, even let's say with a phone. For the phone to be able to work, it needs to recharge, right? The children recharge by their families. Okay, so they go and they explore and they take on new experiences that will help them grow and develop. But then having the secure base of their family, of the consistency, of the acceptance, that helps them in their development, trusting that, they are safe enough to go again out there and come back when they need it. Okay. Lastly, Baruch Hashem, we are Jewish people, And it's really part of who we are, having these routines and these schedules, right? We have Shabbos, we have the Chagim, the holidays, we have daily davening. If you think about it, our life is already kind of full of structure and schedule in certain ways. So until here, what I gave you is a lot of why it's important. Okay, slowly, slowly, we are going to move to the how. Because, okay, thank you very much that this is important, but it's hard. How can we do this? So the first, the thing that I wanted to share as an introduction to the how is really to learn from our Chachamim, that they are, the biggest Chachamim that we can learn from, our sages. So specifically, about the Rashba. The Rashba can really guide us on what being present and being mindful and having a productive day with a schedule is all about. Okay. The Rashba, it's known that he was able to say each day he taught three shiurim, three lessons. Okay. He also answered lots of daily questions that were sent to him from all over the place, over the world. He also was a doctor and he cared for the ill. He was also careful even to take a walk each day. All of this in addition to his own Avodat Hashem, his own davening, his own learning, his own connect with Hashem. So how he had the time for this all? And the answer is atzlacha bazman. And that means success with time, with timing, okay? When the Rashba listened to Ashir, the other things were non-existent in his mind. It was only focused on that. With all his heart, with all his mind. Same when he cared for the sick, it was all about that. He was totally present and mindful. Mindful is an important word, it's about us slowing down and staying in the moment. He was able to do each task to the fullest. So I think that can be a really good inspiration for us all, okay? We live in busy times, and sometimes we are distracted. Being focused is not easy, but it's really important, and especially in a time like the summer when there are so many moving parts, as we keep progressing towards the how, let's try to remember the Rashba, okay? And I can't see if people are asking questions. So Abigail, you can let me know, or we can leave questions for the end. I hope this is clear with everyone. Okay.
Yeah, it's going perfectly well. I think it's good if you could intersperse it as you see for now, the questions you have till now.
Yes. So I totally, I got, I think, 16 questions, and I think all of them are going to have a place in this lesson, but if there are more questions, of course we will have time for that too.
I'll let you know.
Okay, amazing.
Thank you very much.
Of course. Okay. So we are going to continue with the very important part that is the how. Okay. So the first thing that I notice and I note for the how is the parental self-care. So you see, I'm not jumping right away into, create a magical schedule for your child. I'm actually going first to you parents, to you that you every day, try your best, the best that you can with the tools that you have, with the life circumstances that you have. And it's a lot of responsibility, a lot of, you are getting pulled from from everywhere. So first of all, I want you to understand how important, okay, is for you to have good self-care, meaning being able to care for yourself, for your own needs, Okay, so then you can care for the needs of your children. Okay. So I like comparing it. I have a couple of comparisons that I like using. Okay. I like comparing the idea of self-care and, why it's so important. Every person, even children, even adults, we have a cup inside of us. Okay. Like an emotional cup. Children have little cups. Their cups can fill very fast and they can overflow. Okay. But as the parents, we also have cups and we constantly are giving from our cups to the kids, right? As we said before, to create a secure base, to create predictability, to create a feeling of trust. So it's very important that your own cup is full. Okay, because how can you fill the cup of your child if your own is full? So that's why self-care is not like a luxury. Self-care, it's really a need. It's extremely important. Okay, so I listed a few ideas for self-care. Before that, I want to remind you that I'm sure you know, but if you go in an airplane and when this safety they kind of tell you the safety rules of the airplane. They always show you how to use a mask, right, in case of an emergency. And always the adult need to put the mask first, and then he puts the mask to the child, because if you cannot breathe, you will not be able to help your child, right? So that's actually a really good and practical thing for us to remember. We need to be sure that our cups are full. Or foolish, at least the most fool that possible, and that our masks are on, so we can light up the path for our children, right? You have a very, very important role in your child's life, and the role is called being a co-regulator. Okay, we want our children to be regulated, to comply, to meet expectations, right? So for us to help them get there, be regulated, respectful, okay? We need to be their co-regulators. We help them achieve that by us being a source of calm, a source of peace, of patience. Obviously, it will not always be the case, and that's okay. It's a lot of times that we are going to mess up, and that's fine. That's also a learning experience. We can always repair, right? But in general, remember, you have such important roles in your child's life. And again, remember that for them to regulate, you are the co-regulator. They are super, exhausted and melting down, and you try to stay calm, to keep the peace, Doing some deep breathing, you help them de-escalate, okay? Because a lot of times we get triggered and we kind of start feeding into their dysregulation, right? And requires us to be really, in our element so then we can regulate them. So before we start kind of going through some ideas for self-care, I want to quickly explain to you, and I'm sorry that I didn't put a visual here, but there is something that I really like for everybody to keep in mind, okay? There is a very famous pyramid that is called Maslow's
Yeah, should
here.
I put up the screen share now?
Like you can, but I don't
I'll
have
stick it on.
this specific one, I don't have this visual, but I
Okay.
can send it to via
Fine.
email.
Great.
But you can totally put the visual if you want. We are in the self-care part. So the pyramid of needs, Maslow pyramids of needs, is very important. It explained to us that needs are it's like kind of a hierarchy, like steps, okay? To be able to reach a higher need, you need to, first of all, fill the first need. Okay. It's like you are going up the ladder. You cannot skip a ton of steps. You need to be mindful. One, two, three, right? So the same happened with this pyramid. The first need, the biggest need, is the physiological need, okay? And this applies to you parents and to your children as well, okay? Physiological needs are all the more basic needs like air, water, food, shelter, sleep, clothing, okay? If you or your child are extremely sleep deprived, extremely hungry, cold, the basic things, it's not going to be logical to expect them to go higher in their needs, okay? And I will kind of quickly name you all the needs. So that's the first need. Okay, check. We need to be mindful of those needs. After the physiological need, the next, a little higher step is the safety needs, feeling personal security, okay, health, property, employment for the parents, okay? That comes second. If we are very, very dysregulated because of that, it's going to be difficult. So we need to address those steps. The third one is called love and belonging, okay? And that's start to be a little bit more of the emotional connection piece. There come the friendships, intimacy, family, sense of connection, okay? So to reach that was already the third step. We have physical needs, safety needs, and then we start with the love and belonging. Higher one is esteem. Esteem is respect, self-esteem, recognition, strength, freedom. All these beautiful things are coming higher, okay? So all the needs need to be kind of met so we can keep going up in our development. And the top one, the highest one, is called self-actualization, is the desire to become the most that one can be. That is always our dream, right? For ourselves, for our children. So I know it's a lot of words. Hopefully I will send you a visual about it. I think Abigail is trying to pull some visuals, but maybe she's having trouble. It's fine. You will get everything. I think you already got by email. But I just want you to remember how important it is. So being mindful about that for ourselves first and for our children too. Okay. So I listed a few ideas for parental self-care. Okay. One of the ideas is 10 minutes you wake up before the children. And I know it's tempting to stay in bed a little longer, okay? But really trying 10 minutes before the kids are up. And then you can hear the quiet. You can have your coffee in a relaxed, quiet way. Have it even when it's hot. That's a luxury. Deep breathing. There are some excellent exercises. I don't know if we will have time today, but really excellent exercises that we can do ourselves. We can even do as a family, okay? If you are, more of the spiritual kind, taking a few more minutes to say some tehillim, to daven, to ask Hashem to help you so you can be a light, okay? Those things will help you feel in control and be calm. Start the day like that. Another idea for self-care. You see, I'm not giving you very outrageous things. Those are doable things. Put your phone down, okay? Listen to a quiet song. And this you can do even with the kids around. Just put it down. We can be overstimulated by the phone. We can be really confused sometimes. So just put it down and calm yourself down. Don't be overstimulated. Third idea, be intentional and mindful. Like we said about the Rashba, okay? You too, in your day, be intentional and mindful. You are busy, the kids are around you, Baruch Hashem, a lot of noise, a lot of mess, okay? Try to be present even in little things, like use a fancy soap when washing your hands. Pay attention to the smell, okay? Put lotion slowly. Stay connected to the feeling. Stay present, okay? Even in the little things, that will help you be calmer too. And that's also part of self-care. Another great thing is nature. Okay. Even a few minutes, if you can have a few minutes of alone time in the nature, that can be really nice. Okay. If not, with the kids, but nature really calms the nervous system. You can feel the sun in your face, smell the flowers, smell the trees, take a little walk. Those things can really, really help. It's also self-care. At the end of the day, even if it was a very challenging day, okay, you can tell yourself, tomorrow will be a new day. We will start again. Every day we're trying again and we are learning new things. Okay. The night is the time for you to recharge, so you can be able to keep giving. So try to end the day with something relaxing. If you are into writing, so maybe journaling, writing gratitude, hearing some calming music with the light off, okay, will help you with your relaxation. Another one for self-care. Let go of comparisons and pressure. Okay. Being a good enough parent is good enough. That's what we are looking for. We don't look for perfect parents. Let me tell you a secret. That doesn't exist. As a child therapist, child and family, I can tell you there is no perfection. We are all humans. And that's the beauty, right? So let go of comparisons and pressure. Being a good enough parent is good enough. Messes, spills, fights between the siblings, they're actually all a sign of life. Okay. And lastly, another form of self-care that I believe on, of course, it's therapy, right? Individual therapy, support groups for parents. Okay. All of those things are self-care too. Thanks, Abigail, for putting it up. It's only very small. I think we need to make it larger.
One second. I'm sorry. I was having a problem with it. I'm going to try again.
Okay. I will keep going meanwhile, okay? I want to be mindful of everybody's time. So those are some ideas of self-care. And I'm putting it first, okay? Because the how, as I said before, this how to create the structures and the safe base for your children and the beautiful memories, everything really starts with you, okay? And I no, don't say that Chas v'Shalom to put pressure on you, no at all. To just recognize that it's important, you're a person too, okay? So the next section, as we are going deeper into the how, is discussing the a schedule, a summer schedule. This is a general kind of a schedule, okay? You are welcome to print it if you want, and then to adapt it to your family's needs. As we say before, let go of comparisons. Really focus on Baruch Hashem, your gifts, your families, the needs of your kids, your own needs. Okay, but here I will give you like a general idea. And before we start, I want to also let you know that change, okay, occurs within repetition. Meaning, don't expect that everything is going to work amazingly, right away. No, we need to be patient. We need to be consistent. Remember, change occur within repetition. Maybe that's the reason why young kids, they really like to hear the same story over and over and over. The repetition, the consistency, the patience, the predictability go a long way. So let's review this idea of a schedule for the summer. 7:30 to 8:30 a.m. Wake up. Sing Modani together. I think that can be an important mantra, okay? Seeing Modé and Ni together as a family, even you when you wake up your kids, just singing Modé and Ni. Modé and Ni, it means I say thank you. Modé and Ni, Modé is the same words like Yehudi. Yehudi, a Jew, is from the word Hodeya. That means being grateful, saying thank you, right? So I think it's very, very important. It's like something that will remind you, kind of set the tone for your day to start with the Hodeya, with the gratitude. I will try to focus on counting my blessings and in appreciate the half cup full. It requires intention and it's not easy. Okay, and breakfast. Then let's say 9 to 10 a.m. Okay, and again, you might have camps or not. I'm just giving you a general idea. 9 at 10 a.m. in days that your children are home. So I suggest outdoor play or walk. When you do a outdoor play or walk with the children, you can teach them and you can practice with them some grounding and mindfulness techniques. Again, to help them be present. Being here, it's very calming for you as parents, and also is a very good tool for the children. Will help them also be present in what they are doing, being successful. For example, when you are taking a nature walk or being outside, you can tell them, kids, let's find five natural things that you can see, four things that you can hear, three things that you can touch. Two things that you can smell, and one thing that you can taste. Maybe water, right? Maybe mommy has a little surprise for them. Oh, daddy, of course. And then deep breathing. Those are some ideas from 9 to 10. Okay. From 10 to 11, to the creative activity or reading. Kids can make some projects, and I will give you ideas for that too. They can read books a little bit. I think it's important to combine the activity with the relaxing. As I say, the kids have little cups that can overflow fast. So we are co-regulators. We are helping them with their regulation, right? Those are some concepts that we mentioned before. So let's try to combine activity with some relaxing. Then in the afternoon, lunch and cleanup. Okay. From 1 to 2, we can do some quiet time, rest, listening to a story while coloring. Kids really like listening to stories. There are some beautiful stories out there today. Play-Doh, some Play-Doh you can make yourself. There are some great recipes, magnet dials, dollhouse with accessories. Kids can really learn to be creative, have imagination. Those are some simple ideas. Then from 3 to 4:30, it can be play outside, doing projects. Even outside, you can even take a table and do things outside. You can, of course, do bubbles and chucks, outdoors toys, and if applicable, it can be a social time, a time to play with other children. Baruch Hashem, here in Chicago, we are blessed with a lot of, we live close together, in close communities, so kids can, play with each other. So that's, let's say, until 4:30. Then 4:30, 5:30, again, slowing down, family activities, games. Okay. 5:30, I recommend having dinner, 5:30, whatever works for your family. During dinner, something that can be nice, also for connection in the within the structure, is doing something that I like calling it highlights or lowlights. Or like I like telling the kiddos in my caseload, the pit and the fruit. Each one in the family goes around the table and shares what was the highlight of their day and what was the low light, the pit, the whatever we don't like of the day. Of course, you are feeling so many needs when you do that, right? The connection, the feeling here, the self-expression. the attachment, the feeling secure. Okay, let's say that around 6:30 after dinner and cleanup. It's also important to always, I think, have the kids help you with the cleanup, with throwing. Each one can do something, throwing things in the garbage, a little schmata in the table. Those are very important skills too. So 6:30, it can be bath, story time, Shema. That's another important thing. The routine, the bedtime routine also really helps because in the summer sometimes kids can be overtired. It can be a lot of light outside, right? It's a little challenging. Bedtime can be a little bit more challenging sometimes. So that's why it's important that you really keep a schedule, a structure. For example, you can put like a song and then they know. We are all cleaning up until the song ends, and that means that then bath time is starting, right? To really try to keep it like this, like that they know what's expected, that slowly their brains start to relax. So bath, story time, Shema, and then I recommend doing with them, and I'm maybe you already do, but something like Who Loves You? Okay, like kind of a game or a song when you are saying goodbye to them for the night, kind of really naming Mommy loves you, Daddy loves you, Bobby and Zadie love you, our family friend loves you, your teacher loves you. Literally thinking, naming each one of the siblings, and the child goes to sleep with the feeling that he belongs, that he's loved, that he's treasured. And 7:30, okay, bedtime, meaning hopefully they sleep. Okay. Let's see, I think it was a question, but yeah, it's not. I see that we will have the questions in the end. Now, an important question that came that I totally relate to it. When Ima and Abba, or Ima or Abba, work full time. Okay. So people can think, oh, those are also beautiful ideas, but I don't have the time. And I get it, okay? So I want to tell you like this, the quality of time matters. It's so important. It's not just about quantity, but the quality is important. Treasuring the time you spend with your child, be intentional. Like you don't have all the time, so the time that you have with them, try to put your phone away and try to be present. It's hard because you are also exhausted after your own day. So something that can help the parents that work full time is to be proactive and to try to plan and organize ahead of time for meaningful time together. Use charts with motivators, meaning you know how your day will look like, right? So as much as you can be organized, for example, having supper ahead of time, or even a crackpot meal, or if it's you want to go to the park, so being sure that if there is a bag that you need to take, you have that bag packed ahead of time, because again, it's more about the quality of time. So try to be proactive as much as you can, so the time that you have can be a time of meaningful connection. And I really like, I think for kids, the use of charts can be very meaningful. For example, you want the kids to have their shoes on to be able to go to the park. Okay. So maybe it's hard. They don't want to, they don't find it, whatever. If they are able to do it, you can kind of mark a check for them and then have a motivator. I don't like calling it like prizes because really those are rewards. They are motivators for them to do, to want to do more. It's developmentally appropriate. Like we say in Hebrew, mitoch shelo lishma, ba lishma. Maybe they do it for the motivator, but in the end, it's become a habit, right? It become a nature for them, a second nature. Okay, that's something for the parents working for everybody, but maybe the parents that work full time, they need to be a little bit more intentional with those things. And lastly, I will say enjoy the little moments with them. For example, snuggling with your child with a book by bedtime. maybe making a little picture or a little letter for them and hiding it in their lunchbags. So when they are in camp, they open and they feel your hug, even if you are not there 24/7, right? Praise them for every good thing that you see. Praise them. Be verbal about it. Be clear about it. Don't be the general. Just, wow, I see that you put so much effort in this. And again, appreciate the effort. It's not about the end results only. It's really about the effort that the child put. And success brings success. When they feel that, the light is on their positive, they will want to show you more of it. And also, like, you can use, the Chavez table, times like this to really delight in them, to tell the family, to tell your guests how proud you are for your child for doing this or doing that, And another thing to remember, if it's possible, if let's say you don't work on Sundays, try to make that a really quality family time if you can. It can be a picnic together. It can be going to a park. Doesn't need to be nothing, expensive, not at all. But just really being mindful to have family time and connection when you can. And lastly, let go of feelings of guilt. You are modeling wonderful things to your children by working and also by being present for them. Yes, it's possible and it's admirable to them. You are teaching them things like responsibility, setting up goals and achieving them, hard work, multitasking, organization and self-discipline, working as a team on behalf of the family. And you are teaching them to learn to value time and connection opportunities. You are teaching them that, and you are teaching that to yourself. Okay, so I really, really hope that you can let go of feelings of guilt and really treasure what is. Okay, for the next part, I prepare for you some other like concrete ideas of weekly rhythm ideas. Like you can kind of have a general kind of an outline. For example, Monday, it can be library. In the library, you can find maybe some meaningful storybooks for bedtime. Library and board games. Tuesday can be bake or cook together. And then, as a kind of to make it even more engaging, you can decorate like a plate or a box. You can give the kids, let's say that you make cookies or you make chocolate balls or you make bread or challah. So you give them paper plates or little boxes and they can decorate with markers, with stickers, with whatever you have at home. And they can gift these beautiful cookies and stuff, some of it for Wednesday, for tomorrow. Because tomorrow is going to be Mitzvah Day, okay? Mitzvah Day, it can be visit or help someone in need, okay? The kids can prepare ahead of time a picture or a letter for them. It can be in a nursing home, it can be a neighbor that needs a cheer me up, right? And after you do that, you can try to connect that with something especially enjoyable. Like, after visiting, the nursing home, for example, let's go to have ices and go to the park. We are happy when we create happiness for others. You are instilling in them not only structure, but also you are connecting, something rewarding and happy with making other people feel happy. And that goes a long way. Thursday, it can be water play or art. And Friday, it can be Shabbos prep, like candles, setting the table, songs, and having a Shabbos project. And I will give you more ideas as we go. So that can also help you with your schedule, kind of taking the week and deciding a theme for each day.
Maya, can I interrupt for a second just because
Yes.
someone popped up with a question here? How can we take this, everything what you just said regarding activities, et cetera, and making that kind of structure? for children above that age bracket for such activities, let's say 10 and older, 10 to 15 year old boys and girls, a little harder. What other ideas can you give over to the crowd that would make sense in such an age bracket?
Okay, so thank you for asking that. I think as I move along, I'm going to be giving some ideas for creative projects for attachment and emotional regulation. And the truth is, in my caseload, I work with kids all ages, okay? Also with parents and families. And I especially love working with women. That's another thing that I really enjoy. But really, what I'm saying now, it's not only for young kids. Of course, you will not send a older kid to go to sleep at 6:30 p.m., right? So that's why I say you will need to adjust it. But this is real for all the kids, for everybody, also for older kids. They also need boundaries. They also need a schedule. And it doesn't need to come in a way that is, rude or confrontational. But you are the co-regulator, and this continues until they are adults. So let me give you some ideas of some projects that they really go for every age. Of course, depending which materials you want to use. For little kids, it's going to be, like I said before, markers and stickers. For older kids, it can be acrylic paints and hot glue and all kinds of things that they can, put and create by themselves. So I will give you a few ideas again for projects. But before I giving you those ideas, okay, I want to teach you another important code word. And this word is called window of tolerance. Okay. Window of tolerance means whatever you do, it's important that you know that you're aware what your window of tolerance is, you as a parent. For example, sometimes parents really want to make slime with their kids. Now, making slime with their kids for these specific parents is really out of the window of tolerance. They just hate it. They hate the glue and they hate the feeling. They want to be able, because they saw that other people in their block or in their school did it and the kids are begging them. But you need to really know yourself. If it's out of the window of tolerance for you, the activity is not going to be enjoyable. It's okay. You are allowed to say, that's not for me. It's also good modeling to your kids. Good boundaries, like, no, that's not for me, but I can do this instead. Okay, so remember that. That's very, very important. One idea is doing a family handprint canvas, painting the hands of the family members, stamping them on canvas with names. The names, each hand, a hand has the name of another family member. When you stamp them, connect the hands, have them connected, okay? And like that can be a visual to remind your family that you are a team, okay? You are all connected. I like explaining to my families in my caseload, a family is like one body, okay? If a hand, for example, hurts, we can say to the hand, hey, stop hurting, or I don't care that you hurt, I will just ignore you. No, we will feel it. We will wake up at night from the pain. Same happens with the family. We are all connected, okay? For the good and for the better. And I think it can be very empowering for kids to grow up knowing that they belong, that they are connected, that they are not alone. So that's one idea. Another idea that I really like is the gratitude jar. You can do it in different ways, but the idea is to decorate and fill with daily notes of appreciation. Like we said before, mode ani, gratitude, appreciation, finding the positive. So everybody just can, whatever random, write a note and put in the jar. Or you can do kind of a raffle with the names of your family members every day, and maybe in one of the quiet times, and then if you got, for example, I got, let's say, Levi, that day I'm going to be writing a letter or making a picture for Levi, thinking about something special about him. Levi, I really love to see you sharing with baby Jonathan, whatever. Something like that. So then we develop this, good eye, Ein Tova, to really find the good. And not only that, but also Firgun, being able to verbalize that. Those are very important skills, and they can add to the beauty of your day. Another idea, again, all ages, is making a collage, and you can go very creative with it. The collage can have a theme like family or a theme like peace. So you can use magazines, you can use different materials, paints. You can hang it in a place where the family can see and remember. Remember, the moments of connection, remember ideas related to peace, to being calm. Another idea is a Midot mosaic, value-based mosaics. For example, you know what mosaics are. They're like little pieces of ceramic, and you can make, a heart for Ahavat Israel, for kindness, all kinds of things. And then you can connect it with a meaningful story on Midot. That is so important, and really, the home is the best place to grow midot in the children, good qualities. So, for younger kids, will be a book like The Bucket Filler, or Did You Fill a Bucket Today? There are so many beautiful books on, midot, good qualities. So you can connect to a story, and then, making the project. Another idea is Chavez table art. You can design challah covers or placemats. You can give them clay and beads, and make candlesticks. You can take some family pictures, buy in the dollar store some simple frames, and decorating. Every age, the older kids will be more sophisticated, the younger kids will be more simple, and then displaying the family pictures. I will say bichlal, if you are into it, but the idea of taking pictures of happy moments together, and then towards the end of the summer, you can make a little book. There are some really nice websites like Shutterfly. You make a little book, and the kids can look and remember, the connection, the nice experiences. Okay. Story stones, paint stones, and tell imaginative or family stories. Make puppets that can be also from every age, from paper plates, and tell your story. You can, yeah, they can, older kids can do it really so with a thread and a needle. You can give them fabrics, you can give them sacks, really puppets, and they can tell their stories. They can also even build from a cardboard box. Sorry, my English sometimes disappears. And from old linen, they can make like a stage, right, together, and then they can have puppet shows, or stories that they can share during the Shabbat table or take turns during the week. They can even create a storybook. It empowers them to be creative and to feel heard and celebrated, enhances self-esteem and a better sense of self. They have something to share and they are appreciated. I know I gave you a ton of information, okay? Everything is going to be written for you. You also will have my email, and we can keep discussing. But before I end my presentation, I wanted to leave you with four reflection points, okay? And I recommend starting with just one, okay? You can do one a week, one a month, whatever feels right for you. And the four points of reflection that I chose for you today are like this. Think, what three feelings do I want my kids to experience this summer? Decide and go for it. What ritual can I start this week? Something that, will create a happy memory for my children. It will kind of recharge their cups, refill their cups. What memory from my childhood do I want to recreate? If you want, you can take a journal and just remember things that you will like to recreate. How can I use Jewish rhythms to shape our time? If you want to connect, making Shabbos more special, making a hug more special. And that's pretty much from my end. And I will love to hear you because I talk and talk.
Thank you so much, Leah. Really appreciate everything. Maybe next time we do a webinar, we'll have everyone's cameras on and rolling. We'll take a poll next time. It'll be a
Yes.
very different experience. Till now, this is what the feedback we received, but maybe next time we'll be able to change it up.
Yeah. I see that there is one question. How do we manage the different ages home in the summer? Do you, right? So again, I think that whatever, again, you will see the information written, but my ideas, they are really adaptable to the different ages. It's not easy. I know that it's not easy, but it's possible. And with a lot of patience and being sure that you have developmentally appropriate things. So, for example, games for older kids that maybe they can play with each other, activities for younger kids. It takes like really organization and planning. But I think from this, what we speak today, I think you will be able to take some ideas.
Yes, I 100% agree. I think every family also has to look at their own family, see what interests talk to them, and every parent's up to each parent themselves to understand what talks to their themselves and to their children to make it work. What works for one family won't really necessarily work for another family at times.
Exactly.
I want to tell everyone now, whoever's still on the webinar, that we will be sending out the outline of this whole webinar that Leah just went through. If you didn't receive it by your email, send me an email to agoodman@thechicagocenter.org, agoodman@thechicagocenter.org, so I can send you the papers from today's webinar. All the outlines, the outline of all the information that Leah went through will be available to you. Before we end off, there are a couple more questions that just popped up. If we have another minute or two, let's see what could come in. But before we do those questions, I just want to say, end off on my end, I really appreciate Leah for making this happen. A lot of work went into this, everybody. Understand that this wasn't happen overnight. And thank you for staff at Chicago Center that made this happen. I will give a shout out to my coworker, Rachel Eisenberg, on camera. She might be upset at me, but she did a tremendous amount of work for this too. Malky Bear as well. Rabbi Binder for, on top of everyone, for making this happen to begin with. Especially to Upwards community, Shuli, for collaborating with us all together. And Leah, thank you very much again for all your efforts. If you can jump on here to do one or two more of these before we hang up,
Of
then we'll
course.
call it a night.
And thank you for staying here with me. So yeah, I see a few questions coming up. So here a question asks, what about really tired children at the end of the day? How to avoid sleeping, etc. for toddlers because camp is so much energy, but afternoon is so long. So if you ask me, I will kind of refer you back to the Maslow pyramid of needs, okay? If the child is extremely exhausted, and I know parents prefer that they go to sleep really early, but maybe it is a good idea for them to rest a little bit. Maybe they can even rest in camp a little earlier in the day, but it's going to be hard to have a child that cooperates when they are really exhausted. So I would say, keep a balance. Maybe they really need to rest a little bit more. And if not, maybe playing with them outside. The most time that you can playing with them and engaging them outside, sometimes it can keep them more engaged. Together with that, kids need rest sometimes. So at least that's my bias. And I think that's all. I don't see any more.
Let's see over here. People did ask about sending out the structure for the schedule that Leah spoke about. I will send everything out to the to everyone's email, whoever registered. And we'll get the full paper outline of the whole webinar that we went through. And I think that as we went through all of them as of right now. Is there anything you wanna end off with, Leah, to the crowd?
I'm just reading more if there are more questions. Yeah, I see that the people are asking. Okay, so that's all. I just want to say that I admire each and every one of you because I know that all of you do the best that you can always, and your kids know that. So remember, you just need to be a good enough parent that you are that and much more. So send compassion to yourself and keep doing great.
Okay.
Thank you for
Thank you
being
very
here.
much, everybody, for coming on tonight. For those that are listening over the phone, if you did or didn't, we're happy for you to listen to the recording again. Send me an email at agoodman@thechicagocenter.org, agoodman@thechicagocenter.org to get the recording or to get the document. We will put it out, I'm assuming, on the office bulletin, but stay tuned for that just to make sure it'll happen. Thank you very much, everyone, and have a wonderful
Thank
night,
you.
and hope to see you by the next webinar, Mirtashem.
Thank you.
Be
Good
well.
night.